I think we can look at that in our own life practically. When we share a prayer with somebody, it could be in an informal setting, it could be just the two of you off the side. As we do that consistently, it builds up relationship with that person. It builds up a bond between that person. Now imagine what that's done corporately, how it's done corporately. Okay, and again, that's a demand of the covenant, though, that we share prayer. Letter D, we live in mutual forgiveness of one another. The Catholic Church emphasizes this point through the sign of peace, which is before we come to the Eucharistic table, where as we offer the sign of peace to one another, it's saying that despite our differences, despite our different ways of seeing things, I choose to live in forgiveness with you, and I choose to live a life of sacrificial service to you. To not have that attitude, I believe, is to walk to the Eucharistic table and to eat unworthily of the Lord's body and not discern. And the consequences of that, Paul outlined that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So you see, the Lord wants his people, part of the demand of the covenant is to live in mutual forgiveness, to live in sacrificial service to one another, despite differences, despite different ways of seeing things, despite obstacles, despite even different visions. You know, we choose to live in this sacrificial service and mutual forgiveness. That's a demand of the covenant. That's a demand of sacramental worship. And letter E, the acceptance of the historical revelation of Jesus Christ as God's Son and commitment to him and his way. In other words, there needs to be an acceptance of who he is and what he's done. When I say acceptance, I don't mean just simply a verbal recognition. I mean a commitment of the heart. Those of you who were here at the healing mass on Thursday, you know that one of the things I did right after the homily is I led people in a commitment to Christ as the Lord and Savior of their life. Now, for a lot of people, it's a recommitment also. But the point of that was the demand of the Eucharist, of the covenant gathering. If you're a covenant people, we accept the revelation of Jesus Christ. Accept it meaning that I not only intellectually agree with it, but from my heart, I commit myself to the demands of being a follower of Jesus Christ by accepting the revelation of who he is. Okay, this is not in your notes, but I want to take a look at St. Augustine on jubilation, because I think it's part of the nature of shared prayer of the Lord's people. Augustine, in his day, Augustine believed that praying in tongues had passed away with that of the apostles. He also believed that miracles passed away, too, and healings and all that. He was probably one of the first to articulate that evangelical position of dispensationalism, you know, which means that God only did these things at certain points in history. Later on in his life, he would retract a lot of this because his miracles started occurring in his diocese of Hippo, and he couldn't deny the fact. So he wrote a little book called Detractions, which means that he took back what he said earlier. Unfortunately, for a long time, the Catholic Church accepted Augustine's view of dispensationalism, but it struggled with it because we had the saints who were always doing miracles. You know, so we had like an intellectual head, and yet we had a heart that said just the opposite. Evangelical Protestant evangelicals simply accepted the dispensational mentality of Augustine, still do to this day to a large extent. But they forgot to read Augustine's Detractions, though. So they didn't really look at that. What Augustine talked about in his day was jubilation, which was akin to our singing in tongues in our day. He wouldn't use that language, but he uses the language of jubilation. This is how he describes it. He says, what is jubilation? Joy that cannot be expressed in words, yet the voice expresses what is conceived in the heart and cannot be explained in words. This is jubilation. He goes on to say, he who jubilates utters not words, but a wordless sound of joy. The voice of his heart pours forth joy as intensely as possible, expressing its affection in the best way it can, without reflection on any particular thought. Now, does that sound familiar? Okay. Sound like singing in tongues, right? Well, we today would call singing in tongues. He called it jubilation in his day. He says, in commenting on Psalm 100, he says, it seems that indeed person rejoices with his voice, but with a joy so intense that he cannot express in words the subject of that joy. He calls it wordless sounds that are being made. It's interesting, In the one of the opening prayers for the Pentecost liturgy, the church uses that language of wordless sounds. It's very interesting, and they're taking it, they're basing it actually on Augustine's thinking. In commenting on Psalm 33, let's take a look at, read that, for, let's go there for me, since we're going to be looking at a few passages of his commentary. We're talking about this aspect, jubilation, this morning, because it is a dimension of praise, a dimension of joy, and a dimension of not only personal spirituality, but also corporate liturgical spirituality. Psalm 33, verse 3. Actually, I'll pick up a little bit here. Verse 1. Shout for joy to Yahweh, all virtuous men. Praise comes from well from within our hearts. Give thanks to Yahweh on the lyre. Play to him on a 10-string harp. Sing a new song in his honor. Play with all your skill as you acclaim him. So let's take a look, first of all, at the language, sing a new song. That Augustine, commenting on Psalm 33, says, he says, that's jubilation, sing a new song. He says that singing well to God means, in fact, just as singing to him in jubilation. What does singing in jubilation mean? It is to experience that words cannot communicate the song of the heart. Just so singers in the harvest, or at vintage, or in some other fervent work, delighted with an abundance produce. In other words, in his day, as he looked across and saw all the farmers in his diocese farming, and they had a great abundance of produce, they would sing with wordless sounds of joy because they had such a great produce. They weren't singing to the Lord, they were just making joyful sounds because they had produce that would feed them for the upcoming months and for throughout the winter. He goes on to say this, then in the very richness, and rejoice in the very richness and exuberance of the soil, sing in exultation. They express their rapture at first in song set to words, then in bursting forth with a joy so full they cannot express it in set words, they abandon words and break into the free melody of pure jubilation. He says, so they start out with words, they find out that those words don't capture everything they want to say, or sink the joy in their heart, and they break out into wordless sounds of joy. That's jubilation. That's singing a new song, Psalm 33. What he's saying is that he's saying, sing well to the Lord in jubilation. Sing with all your heart before him in wordless sounds. And of course, we know that when we do that, the Holy Spirit is giving us the melody, right? He's forming the melody in our hearts and in the very depths of our soul. Okay. Jubilation, continue on. Let's turn to Psalm 89. Let's look at what Augustine's commentary is on that. Psalm 89, verse 15. When we look at the word, my version says acclaim, but happy the people who learn to acclaim you. Yahweh, they will live in the light of your favor. They will rejoice in your name all day and exalt in your righteousness. What does someone else have instead of the word acclaim? Does anybody else have anything else different? Worship? Verse 15.
I got, blessed are the people.
Okay. Blessed are the people who do what?
Who know the joyful sound.
Joyful sound? Okay. Okay, joyful shout. Joyful sound, joyful shout, shout, acclaim.
Joyful call.
Joyful call. Okay, what else? Carry? Festal shout, okay. Okay, this is verse 15, though, just the very first part of it. Is that verse 15? Okay. 16? Okay, well, I think you get the point. Festal shout, acclaim, joyful noise. Augustine says this in Psalm 89, commenting on this. He uses the language of blessed are the people who know the festal shout. He says here, the psalm opens with the words, I will sing forever your steadfast love. And Augustine says this about the people that are covenant in this love. He says, in all these things shall we not rejoice? Shall we not contain our joy? Shall words suffice for our gladness? Shall the tongue be able to express our rejoicing? Since therefore no words suffice. Blessed are the people who know glad shouting. For unless you understand glad shouting, you cannot be blessed.